All of a sudden, people are talking about Porto. Portugal's second city has become a popular weekend break destination. The industrial base in the north is reinventing itself following the economic problems brought by the closure of major industry. Some derelict buildings and signs of urban decay remain and give the centre an edgy hipster feel. Cool cafes and vintage stores are springing up in the steep back streets, which run up from the photogenic riverside.
This is a magic atmosphere. Porto has everything, its history, its culture, beautiful buildings and great bars, great food, everything very cheap.
Porto is an ancient city which was settled before Roman times. The mighty river which cuts the town in two is called the Douro. That's thought to come from Celtic languages. In fact, Dour is the Welsh word for water. On the steep south bank, the Vila Nova de Gaia district has the appearance of a Georgian port with bonded warehouses and cobbled streets. This is the home of port wine production. The lanes lead to wine cellars. Buildings are topped with supersized letters spelling out the names of port wine producers, and the sweet, rich smell of port fills the air. It's known as the Angel's Share.
Probably millions of litres of port sat in these cellars for decades, aging in large oak barrels. Oak barrels, they're not 100% airtight, and so a little bit of that aroma will seep out over time. The port wine companies have something called the Angel's Share. It's the 2% of wine that they lose every year through evaporation.
I'm heading to a unique world-class hotel which celebrates Porto's pride in its most important export. The Yatesman is a wine-themed hotel and spa. The five-star property is well known throughout Portugal. I was pleased by my cabbie's reaction on the 20-minute run from Porto's modern airport. He told me I'd chosen the city's finest.
We're right in the middle of the port wine district, so we're surrounded by port wine cellars. We have Taylor's just across the street. A little further below, we have Croft Port. And then we're about maybe 5 minutes' walk from the river.
The Yatesman was created in 2007 by the family responsible for centuries of port production and export. €32 million was invested in the hotel building project.
It was always our aim to create the very best hotel in Porto, one of the best hotels in Portugal and Europe. The decoration is contemporary classic. It has an element of colonialism to it, and it's quite English in its style as well in certain places. Lots of bright colours in certain areas and then quite muted colours in others.
As soon as you've checked into the Yatesman, you'll face a wall filled with awards.
These are only a small selection of our awards, in fact, because we ran out of space on the wall. So I had to take quite a few off. We've had the Michelin star since 2011. So a year after we opened, which is about as fast as you can get it, really, because they take about a year to come and inspect.
The Yatesman's architects have creatively included wine references in the hotel's design. One of the swimming pools is shaped like a decanter, and the sumptuous spa, which spans two floors, is linked by a staircase
based on a port wine barrel, and quite a gigantic one.
The spa covers over 2,000 square metres. It was voted Europe's best in 2013, and treatments include vinotherapy. You can book yourself in for a grape pip scrub. Each hotel room is named after different Portuguese wine companies, which sponsor them.
Just to transmit a little bit of knowledge to our guests about Portuguese wine. One of our aims is to be ambassadors for Portuguese wine. Again, we don't want to be a museum, but it's just to try and transmit a little bit of information so that when people go home, they have a little bit more knowledge or a little bit more confident about choosing Portuguese wine when they go to the supermarket or their wine store.
Marketing director Richard Bowden took me on a tour of some of the mini exhibitions within the Yatesman.
We have these very large public areas. It's a space in which we can communicate a little about Portuguese culture. Here, for example, we're in the Cork Corridor. Portugal is the largest producer of cork in the world, and it has many applications, as you can see here. From shoes through to right at the end there, you can see that it was actually half a ton of it was used in the space shuttle. It was the only material they could find that we could put up with the stresses and strains of going into space.
And cork is basically the bark of a tree. It's a type of oak. They cut it down one side and then peel it back all the way around in big sheets, like you can see on the wall over here. And then it takes about 8 years to grow back.
Facing us in the corridor was an 8-foot-tall cork.
That supposedly is the largest cork in the world. Adrian Bridges, our CEO, the concept for the hotel came from Adrian, and this is his personal wine glass collection. We've got vessels here back to 1200 BC.
You can watch the sunset and the city come to life from the comfort of your room.
Every single room in the hotel, all 83 of them, have a view over the historic city of Porto and the Douro River.
And then through here, we have the indoor pool.
That's an amazing view, isn't it?
It's spectacular. But at night, you have all the sort of twinkling lights in the city in the background, the sort of blue light from the pool as well, which is quite spectacular.
Hello there. Hi. For the restaurant. So, Susan, do we have already a set menu prepared for you? Uh-huh.
Well, I was treated to dinner at the Yeatman's 2-Michelin-starred gastronomic restaurant, overlooking the twinkling city lights and the river. The evening was wonderfully choreographed. Every one of the 10 courses was art on a plate and was introduced as my next surprise. I didn't have to worry about choosing the right wine because a sommelier suggested which ones would perfectly complement the food.
So everybody in the hotel who is public-facing, who has to deal with clients, has to go to wine school.
The dinner experience lasted over 2 hours. I'd definitely recommend the Yeatman. It was a piece of theatre. There's more at the-yeatman-hotel.com.
It's amazing in here.
Anna Margarita Margado took me on a tour of the Taylor's Port Wine Cellars opposite the Yeatman. We walked into a huge, chilled, gravel-floored warehouse filled with barrels.
We have our wines aging in here since the end of the 17th century.
Its founder was an English merchant who came to Portugal in 1692 to source wines to export back home. The word about the quality of Douro Valley wine quickly spread. Grapes could be grown in the Mediterranean climate and then conveyed down the river to Porto, the Atlantic port. Next, a video explaining port production.
The wines of Taylor's own estate are trodden by foot in the traditional way.
Grape treading seems to be a social occasion, with workers singing as they undertake the task. As the tour continues, you get to sample some of the Taylor's ports.
What is the difference of the white port to the other ports?
The white grapes are planted in the top of the hills. The red grapes more in the valleys because it's warmer.
Port wine has this beautiful thing. It starts sweet, in the nose is sweet, but then the natural acidity that is given by the Douro Valley cleans the palate. When you have this with food, you see even more how gastronomic port wines are. Inside, it's a dessert in the glass.
Next, I'm going to discover Porto's Harry Potter connection and find out why the city tour recommends a visit to McDonald's. This is the Great Destinations radio show. I'm in Porto, the northern Portuguese city of 250,000 people. A few years ago, Porto was tipped as Europe's must-visit destination by Lonely Planet.
Got to get your trainers on and get out into the street and walk around and just soak up the atmosphere. It's a very sort of medieval city, but walking from here down to the river, one thing that I suggest doing is catching the cable car up to the top of the bridge.
I took Richard's advice and caught the cable car from the quayside just below the Yeatman Hotel. The short 5-minute ride offers great views up and down the river and of the tall, slim 5- and 6-story brightly painted medieval buildings across the water. The Ribeira area is filled with pavement cafes and touristy restaurants. When you step out of the cable car, watch out for trams as you walk across the top level of the double-decker Pont de Louis Bridge. It's worth repeating the journey at night for a completely different view of the waterway. When this bridge opened in 1872, it had the longest metal arch span in the world, at 172 metres. The bridge was designed by a student of Eiffel, the man who built the tower in Paris. Eiffel's own Maria Pia Bridge, which looks like a giant Meccano construction, is just a few minutes upstream. You can see that and the other sights of Porto from the water by taking one of the Douro River cruises. If you're staying at the Yateman, you can also cross the Douro using their own private river taxi, which takes you direct to the waterfront dining on the city side. I've decided to follow the mighty Douro down to where it meets the sea, at the upmarket Atlantic seaside suburb of Foz de Douro. The vintage tram runs for about 20 minutes along the riverbank. As you leave the town, you pass under a high bridge spanning the wide river valley. There's lots of seafood cafes here, but if stormy winds are blowing off the Atlantic, Porto's cheaper cafes could serve you the ultimate comfort food. Francesina is a ham and cheese toasty, and it's a Porto special. It's served in a thick sauce, the colour and consistency of Heinz tomato soup. It's quite a contrast from the refined gastronomy of the Yateman. Every city has a place for both high-end dining and cheap eats, of course, but I was surprised to be told we were going to look around McDonald's when I enrolled on a 3.5-hour free Porto walking tour.
Okay, so we are going to start our tour, and about 1 o'clock we'll be finishing.
The interior of the fast food restaurant is Art Deco designed with high ceilings and chandeliers. Customers were queuing to order their Big Macs under expansive stained glass images of coffee plantations.
So you paid attention to everything, to that beautiful counter in brass and copper, so the wood paneling. So everything pretty much has been maintained since 1932.
Also on the tour, the Art Nouveau Majestic Café, once the meeting place for intellectuals. That was lovingly restored in the 1990s. A third decorative surprise awaited us at the São Bento railway station. Its concourse is decorated with 20,000 blue and white Portuguese tiles. If you love exploring churches, you won't be disappointed in Porto. São Francisco Church is decorated with gold leaf. There's also a good view over the city's colourful rooftops from the plaza in front of the 12th century cathedral with its twin towers.
This building is an icon in the city, and we call to all of this complex cleric or clergyman tower. So 18th century, Baroque style.
You can see the 75-metre high landmark over much of the city.
This tower was used for a long time as a kind of a lighthouse without a light, to warn not ships but to the population of city of Porto that a certain ship, usually from abroad, was very close to dock. Two huge white flags. They were visible and they were a signal for the population for them to go to the port or for their goods.
And if you can cope with the steps, your reward will be the panoramic view from the top.
You know that you can also climb all of these 227 steps to go up. There are several places on your way up to the top where you can stop.
Eugenia has offered these tours for 3 years. The city's streets are steep, and you'll be grateful she's designed a course that's mainly downhill. For Harry Potter fans, there's one final stop to make. The Lello Bookshop opened in 1906. You pay €3 to enter the store. You'll be refunded if you make a purchase. The entry fee helps maintain the curved staircase, which deceives the eye and appears to move under the impressive stained glass skylight.
The bookstore is astonishing. Even for those that are not usually readers, they will love to be inside. It's a magical place. For some reason, The Guardian classified it as the third most beautiful, the Lonely Planet, the third best, the Times Magazine, the coolest bookstore in the world, mainly neo-Gothic style.
J.K. Rowling came to Porto to work as an English teacher in the early 1990s. Some fans say this bookshop inspired Hogwarts in the Harry Potter novels.
Fans and others not so fans, when you enter, you really feel Hogwarts.
As we spoke outside the bookstore, university undergraduates were congregating by the fountain in the square outside, dressed in cape-like gowns and decorated with coloured ribbons.
Some also say that maybe she also got inspiration and in the uniform of our students.
Porto was an interesting weekend break, with unique boutique shopping to discover in the back streets and fascinating architecture, as you'd expect, in a city with UNESCO heritage status. And travel from the UK is fast and affordable. Take a cheap flight and then splurge on the Yateman. You could make a special occasion unforgettable with food, wine, the spa and the view. You might not even want to leave the hotel during your break. Porto's 2 hours 15 by air from London Gatwick with EasyJet. There's also a direct flight with them from Manchester, or use Ryanair straight through from Edinburgh.